CityTalk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. CityTalk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
This is a man's world. But it would be nothing.
Bloke Talk here at City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Thank you for getting involved for another week, either by listening to it on City Talk or downloading it from our website. I'm Duncan. Laura's here. Toby's here as well. And kind of, we haven't got the webcam on, so if we did have it on, you would notice that there's a faintly festive look to Bloke Talk this weekend, because Toby has got it's a Santa hat that's coloured black with Bar Humbug written upon it. And if that wasn't enough, there's a festive smell, because Laura's working her way through some, satsumas, clementines, and that is a kind of festive smell, isn't it? I used to get one of those in the bottom of my Christmas stocking.
I get one in my stocking as well.
Together with 2 pence.
I always used to leave one for Father Christmas, and he never took it. So I ended up eating it in the morning.
No, you leave sherry for Father Christmas.
Yeah, we did that as well.
And but I also thought,
well, there's a choice between a satsuma and a glass of sherry. It's obvious what he's going to have.
No, you give it. You give him sherry and a mince pie, and then you leave a carrot for Rudolph.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to do it properly.
Yeah.
Give him a satsuma.
You did it the wrong
Imagine
way.
Imagine if everybody gave him mince pies, he wouldn't be able to fit down my chimney anymore.
He doesn't exist anyway.
So we're here for another week. A good week, everyone?
I can't remember what I've done this week. I think it's been much work going on this week.
It's been busy, hasn't it?
Very, very busy. Lots of work.
You two have been very productive hacks. And I was looking after the City Talk breakfast show for a bit.
How did that go?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Did you like getting up?
No, I hate it. The only good thing about doing that kind of radio show at that time in the morning is the fact that you can go through the Wallasey Tunnel at 90 miles an hour. The rest of it, a bit pointless.
Until they put cameras in there, which they
It's only a matter of time, isn't it?
It's only a matter of time
before either of the Mersey tunnels get a camera in there.
And suddenly it'll be £62.80 for a return journey.
Because what I like about that, and I think this is a bloke thing, is that it's kind of like, I like to pretend I'm in an X-Wing fighter in Star Wars. And you know there's that scene, there's that bit when in Star Wars...
There's no point talking to me about Star Wars.
Have you never seen the Star Wars movie? Oh, you're joking.
No.
Laura, have you seen the Star Wars movie?
No, I've never seen one.
You're listening to this, and you'll be a man of a certain age. You'll have seen the Star Wars films, and obviously the first one, the proper first one, is the best one, and not the weird stuff that came later. And it's kind of like you want to be Luke Skywalker in the X-Wing fighter. And there's that kind of bit where they're attacking the Death Star, where Darth Vader lives. Nasty man, very big and that's how he breathes, kind of. And it's nice because when you're in a car and you're going through a tunnel, like the Wallasey Tunnel, the Birkenhead Tunnel, you can pretend you're in an X-Wing fighter going really fast, attacking the Death Star.
Laura, why don't we have a conversation that Duncan knows nothing about now?
Anyway, so that's a good week. I noticed before we came into the studio, Toby, that you were looking at various websites, including one where the topics were thicker rubber straps. Thick rubber straps.
I imagine that would have been... am I allowed to say the name of the website?
Yeah.
Timezone.com.
What's Timezone.com?
It's a watch website.
Yeah. It's a website for watch geeks.
It's like a forum. It's a forum where you can pick other people's knowledge, find out all about watches on different makes, different designs, different movement, different... Yeah. Bezels, or as you call them, bellices.
Bellices.
Yes.
You see, because...
And people post photos of their watches, so you can see
that
what they look
so
like
sad.
in different situations if you're thinking about buying one, which I'm not because I can't afford it.
Because we have quite a strict internet policy here at City Talk 105.9, so I was quite intrigued to see you actually got access to some kind of website where one of the forum topics was thicker rubber straps.
Who needs porn when you can have watches?
Well, indeed. So do you? How long have you been a member of this site?
I think about early last year, I discovered it.
And what prompted you to get involved?
Somebody suggested that I had a question about a watch that I was looking at.
Yeah.
And somebody suggested looking at that website because they are very, very knowledgeable, the people on it. And they are very, very knowledgeable as well.
What was the last thing you posted on that website?
It was about... I'm going away. I'm going away to Las Vegas.
Oh, nice.
So it was. I was asking people if there was any shops that they'd recommend me looking in while I was in Vegas.
To buy watches.
Well, to look at watches.
Yeah.
As I say, I can't afford one at the moment.
Any recommendations
coming
back?
I've had a few responses. There is the biggest watch shop in the world in Vegas.
So I've learned something already.
It's three stories high, filled with
watches. But
there's
no clocks in Vegas.
So well, no, there's no clocks instead. In the casinos in Vegas.
There's no clocks in Vegas. That's a fact about Vegas.
Yeah, there are.
That's a good point. Well made.
I'll find a clock and buy it.
But there's a watch shop.
There's a watch shop, but they don't have clocks in the casinos, do they?
No, they don't have many
casinos. They're pumping fresh oxygen as well to keep you awake.
Yeah, there's no windows.
All of the one-armed bandits on the end have bright colours on to attract you.
Oh, is that
right?
I didn't know that.
No, I saw a fascinating TV show about it once, about the psychology behind casinos and gaming and stuff, and they did this whole piece about Vegas. And you're right, there's no windows either, so you don't know if it's light all day. You'll find no clocks anywhere, which is probably why there's one of the biggest watch shops in the world in Las Vegas. And they also have bright colours to attract you to play the kind of... because they have rows of gambling machines, one-armed bandits, and you'll find the one at the end is always a bright colour.
I've been there.
Have you?
Nice. You talk with your mouth full there.
So I've got sashimi in my mouth.
How very festive.
I've got to tell you a funny story, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, swallow.
Take your time.
So when are you off to Vegas?
Next week.
All right, okay. Next week. You won't be here for next week's Boke Talk.
I'll miss the next two, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Can
okay.
I tell you my funny story
about
Vegas?
Yes, well, like, you've finished eating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I went there a few years ago when I was travelling with my friend, and we'd pretty much run out of money because we'd obviously gone all the way across America, so we're nearly over the other side. And so we didn't do much gambling because we were just too skint.
Yeah.
And but we did do a bit, and we did a lot of drinking as well, as you do.
Yeah.
And on the final day in Vegas, we just had no money. We were like, what can we do where you don't have to spend lots of money? Because everything's just so... it's the most consumer-driven place in the world.
Yeah.
So we went to the cinema.
In Vegas.
I went to Vegas.
I guess what we had to see. It was nearly Christmas. We went to see Elf. Do you remember Elf? So everyone else is out drinking and gambling. And
how
we went
to Elf.
How much did
it cost to go to the cinema?
Not much. You know, less than drinking and gambling.
Yeah.
So we went to see Elf, and we were just such saddos. We were the only two people in the
whole cinema.
You see, I did that once.
There were no locals there then, even, that wanted to go to the cinema.
Why have a cinema in Las Vegas? Why would you do that? Why bother having a cinema in Las Vegas when the whole reason for that city's existence is to be entertained?
And gamble.
Largesse and gamble. I once spent my 21st birthday in a cinema all on my own.
What? Oh. You once did? Which of your 21st birthdays was that?
I have two. I'm like the queen. No, I spent my 21st birthday in a cinema in France all on my own.
What for?
I like going to the cinema on my own.
Yeah, well, no, it's a long
Nothing
time. I forgot.
That.
This is
Tell you
this
what,
is,
you'd have, you wouldn't what? Have had your issue with people eating popcorn and sweets and stuff in cinema that people moan about on this station on a regular basis.
Well, quite rightly so. It's antisocial to be munching away for a bag of popcorn, making a noise. But I forgot. I was stranded in France in Dieppe. And I kind of forgot it was my birthday. And I thought, what can I do?
How can you have forgotten it was
your
long story. 21st
involved lots of,
birthday?
It involved lots of alcohol, wrong ferry tickets and all kinds of...
You
kind
forgot
of,
about your 21st birthday?
Bit of a mess. And I ended up watching Four Weddings and a Funeral
in
France.
In French?
Yeah.
In French.
In French as well.
Do you speak French?
No, very badly.
No, but enough to understand the film?
Yeah, well, bits of it. I like the opening 20 minutes where they all say the F word.
Right.
It's quite. It translates well. What are you going to say, Laura?
Oh, I've just got two stories that I thought of them.
Yeah, go on.
My stories are more interesting than yours, I think.
Absolutely.
The one about... yeah, I thought of one about my birthday. It was my 22nd birthday. This is also when I was travelling. And I flew from LA to Auckland... and I flew on the 14th of December, and my birthday was on the 15th. And somehow, because we crossed the international date line, 12 hours later, it was the 16th when we landed.
So you didn't actually have
a birthday. So my birthday got wiped out.
Does that mean that you didn't have a birthday, and therefore you're a year younger than you might have been?
Yes, it does. And also, another story that I thought of when you were talking about subtitles in the cinema.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, on the same trip to America... We went to Memphis, and we went to cinema there as well. We went to watch what's it called? Love Actually.
Did you just go to
Love
America Actually. And go to the cinema? Is that what you did?
It's a different experience in the US. Yeah, go on.
I did loads. We went to watch Love Actually in Memphis, sort of deep South America, and they had subtitles
for the Americans.
Yeah.
No.
They had subtitles because they didn't understand the English.
But Love Actually is one of those kind of... It's from the pen of Curtis, isn't it? Richard Curtis, the guy behind Blackadder and stuff. And anything he's involved in, it does kind of portray England or Great Britain, like Four Weddings did, as this kind of...
quite English. You know,
but it's quite English. All the men obviously wear bowler hats and that kind of stuff. So I'm just one...
Quintessential English.
Yeah, and Love Actually. I'm just trying, who was in Love Actually? I can't
remember.
Everyone
was in Love
They all
Actually.
Blur into one.
Marty McCutcheon.
Oh, that's right. That's it. And Hugh Grant was the Prime Minister. Yeah.
And
the guy off The Office was
Keira
in it.
Knightley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was
in it.
Yeah.
Keira Knightley was in it and looking very, very gorgeous.
Yeah, Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson.
Yeah, it's not a bad film, is it?
What's his name?
Rowan Atkinson was in it.
Was he? That's the one with the little boy. He's lost his mum, isn't it? He plays the drums to try and impress.
It might be, yeah.
Tries to impress a girl at his school.
Oh, yes, it is. So am I. Yes, that's very similar, isn't it?
I like About a Boy. I think that's a good one.
So, have you done much travelling then? You've been around a bit.
After I finished university, I went away for a year and a half.
I think travel's good. I think travel broadens people's horizons. What about you?
I nearly went travelling. Mm. I took a gap year before I went to uni with the intention of going travelling. But while I was in my first job, saving up the cash to do it, one Friday night I decided it would be a great idea to crash my sister's car, write it off, and then not be able to afford going abroad. It never happened.
Well, I went away with no money and just worked.
Yeah. Yeah, like real people do, too.
I've worked in America, Canada,
that didn't occur to me. I should have done that, really, because then I wouldn't have had to do the stupid job in England in the meantime to make up.
It is the weekend. It's City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. It's Bloke Talk. I'm Duncan. Laura's working her way through more. Is that Satsuma or Clementine?
I think it's Satsuma.
I think it is a Satsuma. Toby's sitting there with his black Bar Humbug hat on. Yes. There's a question being put on the Facebook page. Must mention this. The Bloke Talk Appreciation Society, which has been set up by Craig Lucas. Hello, Craig, because I know he tunes in. And hello to everyone who's part of the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society on Facebook. Do come along, say hello, and you can post a question or whatever. There's a thing here. Did we mention this last week? We did. We kind of set you up as an agony aunt, didn't we, about all of people's problems. Calling all blokes. Blokes, this is a place to email Laura any questions that you as a bloke can't answer. Are you having problems with your other half? Maybe Laura can help. See things from a woman's point of view. If your question is not too bad, it might make it onto the show. Please do try to keep it clean. Remember, Laura is a lady. The first question that's come in is this one here. Laura, can I ask you, what is the ultimate Christmas gift to get your lady? We as blokes always get it wrong. One year in the mid-90s, I bought my wife, Kerry, the entire TV series of Soldier Soldier on VHS. I am so ashamed to admit this. She nearly made me eat every one of the 20 video boxes as she unwrapped each one. One at a time. Any advice on surefire winners would be gratefully received. Many thanks.
It wasn't even the entire box set then. It was just one episode at a time.
Yeah. Do you think? Well, at what point do you think Kerry realised what she was getting when she unwrapped?
I reckon she thought.
Bit of a trend.
I've had one and two, and maybe we'll see if this is something different. By the time she had three, she thought, oh, God, there's 20
here. I bought an ex-girlfriend for a birthday present once, and genuinely I thought she wanted it because she was raving about it. I brought her a bread maker.
I thought you were going to say Sex in the City.
And she kicked off about
it. Bread makers, that's a good freshly present. Homemade bread.
She called it an unromantic and uninspirational birthday present.
It's not that romantic, is it, really?
But she was banging on about it. She said, oh, I love the smell of fresh bread. I thought, okay. She said, I like making bread. I thought, okay.
You should have just baked her some.
What, and wrapped it up?
And she'd have had the smell as well, But I think that you needed to get something more romantic on top of the bread maker.
Yeah. Anyway,
bread maker was functional.
Yeah.
Whereas you needed something.
Relationship didn't last long. So what do you reckon, Laura? So this is Craig, who's lady is Kerry. Actually, to pull back from that cock up, there is 20 videos of Soldier Soldier. It's not going to be quite hard to do, is it? What would you recommend?
No, I think it'd be better than that. I would say. Maybe buy her something that she actually picks out in terms of a nice dress or a pair of shoes, because then you can't go wrong because it's something she actually likes. If you choose
but then
a dress...
then it's not a no surprise.
But you haven't let me finish your question.
Well, Toby, stop.
I would say buy her one thing that she actually chooses like that, but then get lots of other little things that are thoughtful. That's the most important thing. So if you...
Such as? Give Craig a pointer here.
Well, if he knew that she liked... monkeys, he could buy her a little toy monkey, cute one. Yeah. You know, and if he knew that she, even stupid stuff like if he knew that she had a favourite food, buy her something to do with that food.
Yeah.
all little things like that. Little things to unwrap, but they're a surprise and they might be quite amusing.
So let me get
it
this...
might remind you of a certain place okay. that you went to, yeah, that kind of yeah. thing.
It's thought, isn't
thoughtful.
It? Thought is the key.
Yeah.
So let me get this right. So it's acceptable from a woman's perspective if a man says, a husband or a boyfriend says, I want to buy you something nice for Christmas. Come shopping with me and choose something.
Yeah. So you I'll get take what... you out for the day.
Okay, yeah. So maybe you get her a main present, which might be a really expensive pair of shoes, okay?
Yeah.
And she's chosen that and she's going to be happy with that. But also then, and the man should go away and maybe do a little stocking or something full of nice little things. Not necessarily expensive things, but well thought out things.
Yeah.
Which then show that, you know, he's happy to spend some money seriously on his partner or that, or whatever. And she's been part of that process and that's lovely. But also... you know, he's been thinking about stuff.
Thought
and
of his own
he is a little
well.
Ceramic monkey because she likes monkeys.
Here's yeah, a that, question yeah. for you on top of that then. If you, on the day that you go out shopping and say to her, you know, pick out whatever you want, how do you go about setting a price limit, as it were? Because obviously, you know, there's an amount that you can afford and you can't afford and you don't want to seem cheap, but then you go out and, you know, she picks out a dress which is £500 and you thought to yourself the absolute maximum I can spend is 200 or whatever. What
well,
do you do
I'm
with
sure,
that?
Well,
not be tight.
Yeah, well, when
but is it tight? If you can't afford it, you can't afford it.
You would think that the woman would know how much you can afford, roughly, especially if you're married to them.
But even would you not feel...
as a woman, I wouldn't make my boyfriend buy something for £500 when I know he can only afford 50.
Yeah,
but would you?
I don't
like...
think you need to have that conversation. Do
don't you?
You?
Do you not?
No.
Well, I don't know.
Well, listen, Craig, thank you very much for your message. What have we got we want here? I don't want there to... I sense an argument brewing. I don't want
it's
one this week.
It's not an argument.
We're just
questioning it.
Okay.
It's an interesting question. Thanks.
Yeah, Craig, thank you for that. So ceramic monkeys is basically the answer to your question. That's the key.
Ceramic monkeys. If she likes monkeys.
It is. I want to come back in a few moments' time. I want to talk about scars. And I want to talk about facial hair. And,
does that mean we're going for our shave?
Possibly. And I also might want to talk about, well, we've come across a fat dog in Liverpool called Toby.
Oh, God.
It is City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
I'm Duncan. Hello. Toby's here. Laura's here as well. We're talking about stuff. It's Bloke Talk and it's City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. That's something I meant to mention. It's totally slipped my mind. It's been a funny week. Should we talk about Toby, the fat dog?
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting.
Every time we use the name Toby in this conversation, can we make sure that we refer either to Toby the fat dog or Toby the person? Because otherwise people will get
confused. Same difference.
Have you seen the picture of Toby the dog, Laura?
No.
No, there's Toby. It's a fat dog from Liverpool. And it's
doesn't look that fat.
Well, apparently.
He's 68,
it's a good picture.
He's
good picture.
68% overweight, apparently.
He's 63%.
What, how much does he weigh?
His current weight is 22.8 kilograms.
Don't you think he looks kind of normal to me?
This was on the PDSA website.
That's
I like the PDSA.
Four stone, is it?
That's a good kind of like, you know, animal pet vet kind of charity, which is good.
He's so cute.
And there are various, they've got some of the most obese dogs in the United Kingdom on their website. I think you're supposed to, it's almost like
it's a competition, isn't it?
Dog idol. Is it basically
it's a competition?
What, to lose weight?
To see which animal can lose the most weight.
So go and have a look. It's on the PDSA website, and on there we've got a Bo from Gateshead. He's a 2-year-old Cavalier Charles Spaniel, King Charles Spaniel. He's 19.75 kilograms. He's 147% overweight.
Oh dear! Have you got a photo of him?
Yeah, we've got. He's a big old boy. There's also my favourite, Kino from Plymouth. He's 53% overweight. He's a Labrador. Look at that. He's like, it's on some woman's lap and dwarfing the vet. Hang on a second. I'll just go through it.
My favourite is there's a cat on there, isn't there?
Oh, it's
a cat.
Oh, that
the
is...
cat is a giant.
Tinks.
Fat cat.
Tinks from Gillingham. That's 96% overweight.
That's really mean to overfeed your pets, you know, like
he's,
that.
He keeps being fed by neighbours. And just out of very quick, there's a from Croydon, there's a 6-year-old Jack Russell called Roxy, 87% overweight. And there's another fat cat here. Who's this? Oh, I can't remember. Paddy from Wolverhampton, a 13-year-old Yorkshire Terrier, is 100% overweight. But Toby is the one we should be supporting because he's not only is he from our city, but he's a 5-year-old beagle. He's 22.8 kilograms in weight, makes him around 63% overweight.
He's got the least to lose.
Yeah, he's got a fondness for pig's ears. Oh, yeah, nicely. You roast them in the oven. Very nice.
I had pig's ears in Estonia, I think. And,
how are they done?
So salty.
Were they stewed?
They were so, no, you just roasted. Had some pig's ear
yeah, it was
and
cooked,
there was a
though.
Sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you just had a pig's ear in it. It was a bit like...
Have a look.
The outside was a bit like sort of crackling.
Yeah.
And, oh, it was foul. I couldn't eat
it. Well, Toby likes his pig's ears and finishing the family's leftovers, and it's becoming increasingly difficult now for him to do exercise because he's so large and his walks take twice as long as they used to. And his owner, Leslie, has to keep spending most of the time coaxing him along, probably by waving a donut in front of him. Like, Toby, donut, walkies!
Is it a Duncan's donut?
Yeah, very good. But I just wanted to... It struck my imagination because he's... he's from Liverpool and he's a fat dog called Toby.
We should get him in one day for Bloke Talk.
Get Toby on
Bloke Talk. It'd be brilliant. He could be the Bloke Talk mascot.
That's a good idea. Should we find out where he is in the city?
Toby the dog. Bloke Talk mascot.
That cat is gigantic.
I did say.
Do you know what it actually says? It says he was 11 kilograms when this guy adopted him, and he'd been a stray before, and he was fed by neighbours when he was a stray.
Yeah.
I mean, that is good work as a stray to get that fat, isn't it?
Quite resourceful.
Yeah.
But what's worse? What's worse, an underweight or an overweight pet?
Overweight.
So?
That shows that they're loved, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So there you are, the PDSA website. Go and support it. It's only because Toby's called Toby, and we like the idea that there's a very overweight
Toby
beagle.
Is actually a dog's name.
Yeah. I've been bullied by my sister saying that for absolutely years.
Hang on a second. Was it proper bullying? Because during the week, it was anti-bullying week.
She used to make me very upset about it. Because there was a dog in Neighbours called Toby.
Yeah, Joe Mangle's dog.
Bouncer, wasn't it?
Yes, I think it
was. Oh, was that Bouncer?
No, there was definitely a dog called Toby.
And
she used to just bully me all the time and tell me that I was...
How did she bully you? Sorry, I don't mean to be laughing.
She used to mentally scar me about it.
I'm trying to work out if it's banter or bullying.
And now every time anybody says Toby is a dog's name or I meet a dog called Toby or something... Yeah. It brings back those bad memories.
Have we opened up a wound here?
I do get upset about this.
Stop waving the picture of the fat beagle in front of me. So if I went,
ow, just
Toby,
caught me in the eye.
Toby, what would that upset
that
you?
Sounds like you're trying to attract a horse.
Toby.
Here, boy.
Good boy.
The other thing is,
good boy, Toby. Down.
Another friend of mine has got a turtle called Toby.
Yeah.
And this is a female turtle.
Yeah.
So people seem to like naming their pets Toby. Quite upsetting.
I feel a bit bad now, do you, Laura?
I'm now only crying.
Like he's crying.
I'm crying because you just stuck a piece of paper in my eye.
Yeah, you bully.
Come on, there's worse things to be bullied about than saying you've got a dog's name. Let's get things into perspective here. Yeah.
Look, it's all about perspective, and at that time, that was a bad moment in my life.
Oh, bless you. It is Bloke Talk and it's City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Duncan, Toby and Laura here. I want a female perspective on this, and I think any man would want a female perspective on this. It's a story that appeared during the week. It's about facial scars.
Oh, I think I heard about this story, that women like them.
They do, apparently. A facial scar, preferably one that looks like it was inflicted in anger, rather than the aftermath of chicken pox or acne, increases men's attractiveness to a woman for a short-term relationship. So we're not talking marriage material, we're talking a bit of kind of... Faced with a picture of men with and without different scars, women rated the scarred faces as better looking, but scars did not enhance women's attractiveness to men. It was actually done in our city, University of Liverpool, also the University of Stirling. Researchers said this is the first study to demonstrate that under certain circumstances, post-traumatic scarring may increase a person's perceived social worth. Our results suggest that under certain circumstances, scars may advertise valued information about their bearers, and that the idea that scarring universally devalues social perceptions can no longer be assumed to be true.
I bet that valuable information is that women like hard men, don't they?
Do you think that's what it is?
Bad boys.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Exactly why women favour scars is not clear, but one theory is that they provide visible evidence of past trauma.
Yes.
And many also communicate information about the man's history and personality as well as their attractiveness. It has also been suggested that scarring associated with violence may signal to a woman that the man has a risk-taking personality or above-average masculinity, both of which might appeal to a woman for short-term relationships. Because of that, scars may indirectly be a sign of good genes or a strong immune system that also appeal to a woman for short-term relationships.
Mm.
Now, you see, when I was growing up, I used to have an action man. Do you remember Action Man?
Yeah, yeah.
Action Man used to have a scar.
Yes, he just did.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And that just kind of got me thinking that there's obviously some, because, you know, Action Man, a bit tough, you know, he's a bit rugged, he was a commando sometimes.
You have to, if you're an action man in a film of some sort, you always have to end up at the end of the film with, like, a slash down the side.
Bruce
of your
Willis
face.
Is the obvious one, isn't he, for Die Hard. Daniel Craig, and, I mean, I saw Quantum. Have you two seen Quantum of Solace yet? Don't bother. Boring.
Really?
I don't like it. I think Bond's lost his essence.
Get two completely different views, because some people say they really like the way, this new direction that he's taken.
It's too cold.
Because by the end of the Brosnan era, it was it was, like, almost in the realms of unbelievability.
But isn't that the beauty of Bond?
I don't know.
You want some gadgets, you want pens that turn into parachutes, you want cars that fire missiles out their headlamps. You don't want this kind of this thug, which is what Bond is in Quantum of Solace.
Do you know what I've noticed about James Bond?
What?
Is that no matter how much he drinks, he never gets drunk.
He does a little bit
in
this one.
Like you, Toby.
No, I get drunk.
He does a little bit in this one. He's on the Jumbo 747 knocking back the martinis, and he's kind of like a little bit... Well, not kind of like totally off his head. But
he seems to be able to drink any amount. He doesn't get drunk.
Yeah.
I want to see him really inebriated one day.
It would be quite entertaining to have Bond on his knees
pen.
Coming out of a kebab shop.
You want to see him
being sick into a
talking
toilet.
Into his pen, telling Q how much he loves him.
You know, telling the kebab shop owner that he used to love going to Greece and killed half their secret service, walking out of a chicken doner with some chili sauce on the side, a bag of chips, and then like staggering along to the bus stop going, oh, I'm going to be sick. That'd be quite refreshing, wouldn't it, to see Bond like that?
I think so. And then still somehow not getting killed.
Yes.
Maybe steal a traffic game.
Yeah, stealing a traffic game, then trying to hail a cab, so he weaves down the road. Do you fancy Bond? I was going to ask you. Scars, do scars work for you?
I've never really thought about it, to be honest, but I can understand that's kind of like the whole classic bad boy thing, isn't it? And maybe women just see a scar and want to heal it.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Have you got any scars?
One on my leg that's not very.
Well, what was that? It was a wound for what?
When I was very, very, very young.
Your sister wasn't pretending you were a dog and throwing sticks.
No, I ran up a down escalator and fell very badly and cut my leg. I've also got, you wouldn't call it a scar.
Where's the scar? Which part of your leg?
Just on the front of
my shin.
Is it a
proper scar? Is it a bit of a lame
scar?
No,
it's rubbish. You can hardly see it.
Did you have stitches?
No.
Oh, that's not a proper scar then, is it?
No.
Why are you wasting your time talking about your childhood injury?
My tooth chipped when I was on a roller coaster and my sister held the back of my head until the point where we went over the top of the hill and started then dropping at immense speed going forward, and I fell forward and smashed my tooth on a bar.
Yeah, but that's not a scar, is it?
And I was shouting.
Wasn't very nice
I was
to you,
screaming
it?
And screaming. And my parents had become friends with the people that owned this roller coaster. Right. I was on holiday somewhere. And they thought I was loving it, so they gave us this extra long ride with me with blood pouring out of my mouth. We went, I'm not joking, it must have gone on for 15 minutes, going round and round with me like, stop the ride!
So your injuries, you have a little scar, not a proper scar.
No,
because it didn't have
generally
stitches.
Thanks to my sister, though, otherwise. She cartwheeled and kicked one of my teeth out once as well.
Your sister sounds like a maniac.
Is this an older or younger sister?
She's older.
How old?
4 years.
Yeah,
bully.
Yeah, my wife's younger sister used to put their little brother in a suitcase and push him down the stairs. It's appalling.
That's what little brothers are for.
They used to go. It was literally. They used to say to me, "So we can't go to the fair today, so we're gonna play roller coasters at home." They used to put them in a case and push him down the stairs. The thing
was
is, he loved it.
Close the case. Yeah. They actually zipped
he loved
him
it.
Up.
Apparently, he used to open it up and he used to be sitting there going.
That's what I'd have been like.
Yeah, have you got any scars?
No.
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 No. None at all.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Where?
I've got two massive scars.
Really?
Yeah. They're not on my face, though. They're elsewhere. And
where?
When I read about this research, I got a bit excited because I thought that... Because I've had my scars for a while. And to begin with, I was a little bit like self-conscious about them because people go, there. If you go for a swim or something. But now I just like the idea that there's a certain woman out there who might think, it's a scar. He's been through trauma. He's got a hidden debt.
Are you
come on, then
say
where?
Where from?
No,
where
because if I tell you what do you think they are? Because you can't see them.
Are they on your back?
No.
Well, obviously you can see
are
them.
They
if
on
your
legs.
They're on my legs. Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you do?
Well, you complained last week that people know nothing about me.
Mm.
You made me bare my soul last week on Bloke Talk.
Yeah, I did.
I broke my hips when I was a lot younger, and I've got two very big scars. I've got two scars.
How did
I've
you got do
one.
Them?
Hang on a second, let me just move some bits around. I've got one that runs from here all the way down to here.
Mm. On that's the top of the leg down to about just above the knee.
Yeah, it's about on where the your side. Hip is down to just above the knee. Yeah, and one on the other side as well.
God, what did you do? How did you break your hip?
Well, because they grew too quickly.
Oh. What, they sort of...
I don't want to turn into a medical show, but basically, imagine that's your hip ball and that's your hip socket.
Right.
The kind of like the hip there grew too quickly.
Right, I see.
And as a result, it grinds against the socket. Right. And then the bone starts to crumble.
Okay, well then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you a little kid when that happened?
Yeah, I was 9, 10.
Did it
11.
Kill?
11.
Did it what? Absolutely kill?
I don't remember it at all.
Oh, don't you?
No, because I was drugged up on God knows what. But they're great scars. And one was done by a surgeon who was obviously quite clearly an artist, because it's very faint now. It's just like you could almost imagine him rolling up his sleeve and the needle and the thread going, da 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 da. Like, look at that work of art. The other one, it's like they got in Sweeney Todd. It looks like the scar on my left-hand side looks like a map of the London Underground. It's like hacked away in places and stuff, and it's not pretty. So the one on the right, I would show you, but
it's a bit.
You'd have to drop your
trousers off,
is...
and even I draw the line at that.
No.
The one on the right-hand side is quite. It's about just under a foot long. It's nice. It's a nice faint line there. One on the left, an absolute mess. And what I do is my niece and nephew. Because when I first kind of like, when they were growing up and stuff, they saw them when we used to go to the beach and stuff. And they go, oh, what's that? Yeah. And Oliver, he's now 13 and he's got facial hair and he's into Nirvana and skateboards. But at the time he was like 8 or 9. I'd say to him, sharks.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah.
Ollie,
make things
sharks,
up, can't you?
Ollie, it's sharks.
Here, just done it.
Yeah, until then he started walking around the beach going, sharks! Sharks! So, scars. I've got some scars. I'm proud of my scars. I think everyone should have a scar. A scar tells a story.
Mm. It does.
Particularly
if you need to like waste 10 minutes on bloke talk.
How
great.
Dare you. So there you are. If you're listening to this and you're a woman, I'm just wondering if you are a bloke and you're listening to this and you're on Facebook, do go to the Bloke Talks Appreciation Society and do one of two things. Tell us where your scar is, or even better, post a picture.
Yes.
I'd like to have a look at someone's scars.
Yeah.
And tell us how you got the scars, because I think there's an argument there that you can't be a real man until you've got a scar somewhere. Does that make sense?
Well, I hope not.
You got a little one.
Yeah, it is very little. Mm. You have to search for it.
Yeah, but you still got a scar.
Okay, that's fine. Then yes, I agree.
Yeah. So scars can help win a woman's heart, but not long term, not marriage material. You're talking, you're talking kind of short term relationship, year, a night. 6 weeks. I've got a CD here. Now, I saw Jonathan, who's the producer, who's back, because he wasn't here for the last 2 weeks.
I just noticed that CD.
Looking at this distastefully. Oh. And there's it's prejudice, your attitude towards this man. Let me tell you why. He is the great Des O'Connor. Now, Des O'Connor is back on the TV. He's advertising a well-known supermarket at the moment called, begins with T. It's got five letters, ends with Co. And he's singing Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. And obviously off the back of it, he's released his CD. Shall I tell you why Des O'Connor is relevant to Bloke Talk?
Go on.
Because he's a bloke.
Well observed.
And he
but
talks.
Not only that, but Des O'Connor, at the age of 72, became a father.
Is he 72?
Well, he was he became a father 4 years ago. So he's now 76. Yeah. Des O'Connor is one of the most virile men on the planet. Des O'Connor is a bloke's bloke.
That's astonishing.
Isn't that amazing? So when you because people have a perception about Des, they're going a little bit cliched, bit naff, permatan. Des is a bloke's bloke. Anyone who can become a dad at the age of, 72.
Do you think it's right that a 72-year-old can become a parent?
No, I'm not going to debate that. No, but, Des is worthy of a mention. Did you say it's disgusting?
I said let's not discuss
that. No, let's not discuss it. But there's this CD that I thought we might in Bloke Talk with a little snippet of Des.
Oh, do we have to?
Why?
Because it irritates Jonathan, the producer, more than anything else, so we might do that. Listen, it is Bloke Talk and it's City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. I want to talk about phone calls and also a pair of ladies' pants have been produced with sat-nav installed, so we might talk about that. It is City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool.
This is a man's world!
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
But it would be nothing, nothing, without a woman or a girl.
It is Bloke Talk here at City Talk. Thank you for getting involved. Reminder, you can you can go to the website, citytalk.fm. You can email any of us. Also, go to Facebook, the social networking site. And on there, you'll find the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society. And you can leave a message on the wall, find out a bit more about what this show's about. Oh, by the way, last week we were talking about food at length, didn't we? We almost rechristened this show, kind of like the food show or something, or food talk. Someone during the week, you know, we were talking about this idea of a chain of pubs that sold nothing about bangers and mash. Someone came up with the idea, the Bang In.
The Bang In.
The Bang In.
That's a great idea.
Isn't that a great name?
It's got a double meaning.
Yeah, it works.
I
the
like
Bang
that.
In. The Bang In, I thought that was inspired.
But didn't we have a bit of an issue with whether what will you do during the summer when
didn't we decide that issue didn't matter because what we would do is have a mobile Bang In the form of an ice cream van.
Oh, yes.
Dispensing bangers and mash winter and autumn and ice cream spring and summer. Or did I make that up?
Can we not have a barbecue sausage in the summer?
Yeah.
Do hot like dogs.
Sausages.
Just an idea.
Yeah.
Scrap the mash.
Yeah. Ooh.
Replace it with a salad.
Have mash.
No, in the summer, replace it with potato salad.
Yeah. Get the old spring onions chopped in there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I love potato salad. That's
good
another
call.
One.
Yeah.
We're coming up with some good business ideas.
We need to do something regarding food and drink, don't we?
Yeah,
I'll tell you what we should do, and I did this at another radio station. I thought it was really good fun. Is each person who's part of the team each week has got to try and find a food that's a bit different and a bit strange
and bring it in.
So you actually
would be like, I'm a celebrity.
Yeah. Well, I'm not.
A bush tucker trial.
Yeah.
I'll bring in a witchetty grub.
No, I'm talking about proper food. I don't want insects. So instead of going to supermarkets, what you might do is go to maybe, you know, one of the
Chinese supermarkets.
Exactly, supermarket or somewhere, and you actually bring in various stuff. And we could kind of try it out.
I think that's
I'd quite
great
like to do
idea.
That. Should we do that?
All right.
Because there is somewhere on Bold Street, isn't there? There's a place on Bold Street
where
there's a load of different kinds of stuff.
There's a few around the Chinese, the Chinatown and...
So what are we trying to do? Bring in something that no one's ever tried before?
Something a bit unusual.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Well, let's just put the challenge out there, and if we can achieve it by next week, then we'll have a load of food to eat.
All right.
Weird food. What's the weirdest thing you've ever had?
I know what the weirdest thing I've ever had is. Lamb's eyeballs.
Oh, that's brave. Where was that?
Well, it wasn't brave because I didn't know.
Oh, really?
I was given this... I was in Egypt.
Yeah.
On a boat going diving.
Yeah.
And, you know, they came out with lunch and, you know, you just took a bowl full of whatever you want. And there was something that was, it looked just like pasta bolognese. Great. Wolfed it down. Loved it. Went back for seconds. And they were like, you do know what that is, don't you? And I said, no. They said, sheep's eyeballs. And actually,
was it minced?
It was sort
well, clearly
of
it was, because if it was eyeball, it would have been a bit of a clue staring
back
at you.
Back
when you looked closer, you could sort of see.
Right.
What was it in pasta? They put it in pasta sauce?
Yeah, and a tomato-y sauce.
I'll have to try that.
It was very nice, but I couldn't bring myself to have a second helping.
Because you knew what it is. That's the thing with a lot of stuff, isn't it? You know, it's kind of, someone fed me tripe once. And just the look of tripe raw in a butcher's shop, you know, you've got that white kind of, that stomach like, it's like, it doesn't look nice. And I ate this meal and I thought, that's a tasty meal. I didn't know what it was, and some of that was tripe. And then you start to gag because psychologically you're thinking, I don't like that. And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Laura? What's the strangest thing you've...
I've never tried that many strange meats because I was a vegetarian for years.
Yeah.
Only started eating. So,
You ever had kangaroo meat?
No, I haven't had any I've never eaten a steak.
Oh, bless you.
Somebody's got sent kangaroo meat in this tower not that long ago.
Kangaroo meat's nice.
A couple of weeks ago, yeah. I'm sure they did.
I don't like the idea of all those exotic meats.
They're very rich. I believe it's very rich, kangaroo meat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Quite gamey. I once had a goat curry in Birmingham. And because there's a district in Birmingham which is kind of like in London is Brick Lane, where there's a load of Indian restaurants and curry houses and stuff. There's a similar part of Birmingham, and I went there with a couple of mates, and it was just like, hey, should we have something different? Yeah, let's.
Well, did you like it?
Goat curry. It's really weird because it's a really bizarre meat, and you really kind of have to. It's not a pleasant meat, goat. And if it's done well, it's cooked. What?
I can imagine.
So you look at the animal, you think, that's just not going to be nice. No. And it's got to be cooked for a long, long time to make it kind of quite palatable and tender and stuff. and I don't think this one was. It was like chewing elastic bands.
Tough.
Should we do that then? We could do that. Should we try and see if we can find...
Can you not bring weird meats in there? Because I'm a bit funny about meat. I hardly eat it and I don't like all that. You know, I'm not eating...
Chicken for Laura.
No, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I can, we can, well, let's try and find... Let's keep it limited to non-meat foodstuffs and drink.
Okay.
Because yeah. China and Japan have some great drinks.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, not necessarily alcoholics, just something that's like weird, kind of like fizzy drinks derived from kind of bits of leaf and stuff. Yeah. So we should try and do that. All right. We'll do that. I like that idea. I once, my dad, when he was alive, used to live in various foreign countries, and he used to have to, you know, go and have dinner at people's houses, and they'd like invite you into their family and stuff. And of course, what you had to do is, you know, you would obviously accept the invitation
and eat what you were given.
Yeah. And as a guest of honor, I think, where was he? He was I think it might have been Libya. They presented him with this sheep's head, you know, which had kind of like been boiled and everything, and you scrape the meat off, but the guest of honor gets to eat the eyeballs.
That's horrible.
So not a minced eyeball, but a full blown couple of eyes. And you kind of like, apparently what you have to do, and this is a story he once told me, you have to pull the eye out and then you have to like get your fork and tackle all of the tendons it's attached to, and go, it's true. People do it in different parts of the world. So consider yourself lucky with your minced eyeball bolognese sauce.
Thanks.
Feeling a bit queasy now. Last week I said I wanted a curry after the show. Now I'm just kind of thinking I don't want anything.
Did you see the Bush Tucker trial on I'm a Celebrity this week? Oh my gosh. Now, if people were eating during that, Duncan, if you've been eating a curry during that, you just wouldn't have.
Am I right in thinking, because I'm making a point not to watch you now? We talked about this a little bit last week. We talked about Brian Paddock, didn't we? And we talked about Kilroy Silk and stuff. Mm. But am I right in thinking, from what I've picked up from people in this tower and also what's in the press, that they've kind of like waded in with the trials and stuff earlier than normal? Because I thought it took a while.
They always start the trials straight away,
Right, so they've been munching on bits of kangaroos and that.
To be fair, actually, they don't usually have the eating one right in the beginning, but they had that first.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. I thought they built up to it. Normally they's like...
They'll probably do another eating one.
Yeah. Who's going to win? Now you've been watching it for the best part of a week, who do you think is going
to
win?
It's hard to say. I think that Joe Swash might win just because he's a comedy character. They keep making him do the trials.
And he's a bit of an underdog, isn't he?
In Kilroy.
So much as, he was in EastEnders. He's not in it now. He's a cheeky chappy. Let's vote for him.
You know, Kilroy might even win just because he's quite entertaining, although he'll get on people's nerves. And also, I think Esther Ransom might win as well.
Do you?
Because everyone loves Esther, and she's held herself, and she's done well so far, you know. Yeah. Very dignified lady, isn't she? So
it is an interesting mix, isn't it? Just reading about the various people in the press and stuff. I'm fascinated by Kilroy Silk, the more I read about him. Because he started off, he was an MP in this part of the world. He was an MP in Ormskirk and Knowsley in the 70s and 80s. He was Labour MP. Then I think he did some documentary for the BBC. And then they said, hey, you're natural at this. Why don't you come and present some TV shows? Did all of that, wrote a column, got booted off because he made some allegedly unsavory remarks in the Express. Then went off to UKIP, which, no matter which way you call it, is a right-of-centre political party. Then they wouldn't have him as leader, so he starts his own political party called Veritas. He's an interesting man. He's a fascinating man in many ways. And he's one of these people that you come across in life who almost keeps bouncing back one way or the other.
All I can say about him is that when he used to present that show, those shows I absolutely hate with a passion.
Well, at least he was the first one to do it. He was the first one to do it. He was the forerunner, if you like, of
all of
Jeremy Kyle.
Sorts of things and you know, the American versions as well. Room 101 is all I can say. Cannot stand.
Why not? See, I think he was quite good at it because it was a time
freak shows.
Kilroy's was a bit different. Yeah. Kilroy's was a bit more topical, wasn't it?
Yeah, a bit more gravitas than Jeremy Kyle, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, I just hate them. I was
talking to a friend of mine during the week, and we were talking about Kilroy Silk, and he said he once phoned up the production people who made the Kilroy Silk morning show because he watched his show and he was doing this thing about troubled teenagers. Mm. And Kilroy Silk, according to my friend, did this very good hour long show, and he engaged and related with the teenagers, whereas Kyle just shouted at them and kind of like, "You'd be ashamed," and all of that. You know, Kilroy Silk kind of engaged and took some time to try and understand where these kind of like young adults were coming from. So a friend of mine who's a journalist, he said, I phoned up the the production office and just said, is Kilroy Silk there? And they said, no. He said, well, you know, I'm a journalist. I watched this show. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really good bit of television journalism. I just wanted to feed that back because we don't feed back stuff like that much. And that was it. He thought nothing else of it. 2 days later, the phone went and it was Kilroy Silk, who just said, I picked up the message. I really appreciate it. Thank you. What did you like about it? So, but I mean, that could just be ego. Very easily or whatever, but I think this, I find him intriguing. I don't know if I like him. I can't make that judgment because I don't know him, but what I've read about him, what I've seen and where he's been over the last kind of like, well, actually since the 70s, so the best part of 40 years, I just find him interesting. I think he's an interesting person. Do you know what I mean?
I'll give you
Esther
that.
Ranson. Yeah, she's achieved quite a bit. I just don't, you know, I think it's a little bit one-dimensional. The rest of them I can't get excited about, but Kilroy Silk I just find an intriguing geezer.
I think that's fair.
And there aren't enough intriguing geezers on the planet, or indeed intriguing ladies.
Well, there aren't enough in this room.
Can you name some more intriguing geezers? Can you think of any more off the top of your head?
Yeah, plenty. Well, Tom Baker. Tom Baker's an intriguing geezer. Doctor Who, ex-Doctor Who, Scouse. He was the only Scouse Doctor Who to date. Tom Baker, fascinating man. I know, great story about Tom Baker. But it's a story that we can't talk about. Yeah, well, a lot of intriguing. It's people who have achieved stuff or a little bit or prepared to stand by their viewpoint or kind of like take on the odds and stuff. Do you know what I mean? They're intriguing people, don't you think? Ellen MacArthur, the round the world yachtswoman, she's an intriguing woman. Well, why did you turn your nose up?
No, I'm not going to say anything about Ellen MacArthur.
You're not a fan?
Oh, she just annoys me.
She annoys you. Oh, taking a yacht single-handedly around the world. That is very annoying, isn't it? It's quite an irritating
thing. It's the way,
no,
it's the way when she was on that boat, all she could do was complain. She'd go and talk to her little webcam and go, I'm very tired. The boat's really rough now and I feel sick. And then she started crying and I thought, why are you there? You didn't have to be there. Why?
Because it's taking on the elements. It's going up against nature.
If you're
going to
do
winning.
It, man, don't complain.
Well, you wanted to come on, switch on the webcam and go, I was watching I'm a Celebrity whilst I was putting up the rigging during a Force 9 I think Kilroy Silk's going to win.
There's something about sailing that I just don't get. It's like, why put yourself through that and then complain about it? Just stay on dry land.
I've met Ellen MacArthur, actually. She's very nice.
Oh, she does
She does look like a little boy.
I think it's a bloke thing. I think blokes, because we like that kind of adventure thing. We go,
Definitely.
That's an amazing achievement. Or just go, shut up and go shoe shopping.
She went round the world. That's an
just the way she cried about
done.
It.
You'd have cried if you'd done it.
Yeah, now, but listen, I wouldn't have done it. That's the point.
We mentioned facial hair earlier on, and I just because this has been something that you and I have touched upon a little bit, okay? And I'm gonna make a commitment here because what I'm trying to do, and we know that there's, you know, certainly between now and the end of the year, we hope to go out and about with Bloke Talk. And you asked me why it's taking so long, and I said everything in life has a process now, and you know you just got to go through the system and the processes and stuff. And one of the things that you and I wanted to do, because you've never had it done, I think I'm right in saying
never
this,
had it
I?
Done.
You've never had a proper what I call a kind of like a close wet
cut
shave,
throat.
A cut throat shave. So we're talking to people, we're going to try and make it happen,
right.
And this is the deal. And if I can't make it happen with Bloke Talk,
okay,
all right, you and I will do it. It'll be my Christmas gift to you.
Oh wow.
We will go to, because there are two places I found, somewhere in the city and somewhere in Wirral. We will go and we will have it done just for the sheer novelty value.
I'm recording.
What do I do then? Do I get to come along or not?
Well, I'm a bit.
In fact, I
depends what mood you're in, because if you're not in a good mood and there's some open blades knocking around, and Toby and I are bound up in a chair with some sheet over most of our bodies, like just looking up, I feel a bit vulnerable.
I actually hate watching, even when you watch it on the telly, when someone has a shave like that, a proper shave. I can't watch it, so
Wait. It's such a great experience.
It's a great
Do you
idea.
Think they could shave my legs? Seriously.
With what? An open blade?
Yeah.
How long is your leg hair, I guess?
If I grew it a bit.
Love where you're prepared to do that.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm a serious journalist. I'm not going to get my
It's never been done on the radio. It's sort of like
it's never, I don't think it's ever been done.
Right, put your leg up, roll up. Your...
No, I'm a serious journalist.
No,
I can't
let's.
Get my legs
let's I think. I
so
think
we'll do that.
We'll
you
take
two
a recorder
go.
And we'll at least
That's
talk
what
about
we'll try,
how we
try
felt
make it happen. But I've reached the point where I just want to because I'm blowing hot and cold at the moment. Sometimes I won't shave for a week because I just kind of want that because I'm just finding it cold now this time of year. So I like that protection. Other times I just get really irritated and I just want a really good this is a bit of a bloke thing, but I'm not having a good experience shaving at home, if that makes sense. I've got this new thing that's got four blades, this kind of razor. It's rubbish.
Oh,
they're
I've
all
got
rubbish.
An
it's all of the marketing
new razor. I've got a
which
really
one have you
good
got?
razor.
It's not one of the really you know obvious makes. Am I allowed to say the make? It's just a you know four blade, but it's a new angle that you shave at, and I really really like it. The only problem is it doesn't get that little bit under your nose.
But you're not got 100% satisfaction.
No, there's always
a problem.
Yeah.
And this is exactly my point. You can buy I've got a bag at home of like 99p disposable things.
Yeah.
All right, and they serve a purpose. But you don't get a close shave.
No.
You know, you can do a reasonable job, but you don't get a close shave. I've got this thing with four blades, you know, and it's just like, and it's all right, but just kind of under one of my chins there, always catches, doesn't work. It's never 100%.
What about, have you tried electric razors?
I've got an electric razor. I carry one in my bag for those days where if someone says, oh, really important meeting, you've forgotten about it, you go and sit, stand in the gents. But that's not, I always miss a bit.
No,
I'm left
with
a tuft somewhere.
Yeah.
And I look like I'm some kind of yokel from Somerset. So it's never a good experience. You shave your legs, obviously. Do you kind of disposable or do you fall for the marketing of, oh, get this razor for $9.99. It'll be like driving a glider somewhere.
Yeah, I've got a make one that's a make.
Yeah.
And it's very good.
Yeah. Have you
I don't think I could get as excited about it as you two.
It's important. It's more important for men, isn't it?
But it is a bloke thing. There's so much and it's so cleverly done. You look at all of the razor adverts that existed over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have a shave and there's this man who's having a shave maybe on a cliff top somewhere. And then the next thing he's picking up a baby and giving it a hug. And it's just like, what?
He dies.
I want is no stubble.
Dives off of that cliff into the water and suddenly out of a mirror and a woman comes and strokes his chin.
Yeah. Just think about that for a second. He was on the cliff having a shave. Then he jumps in the water. He comes out of the water, gives a baby a hug, gets back in the water, gets back out as a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Where does that happen in real life?
I know.
Well, there you are. So we'll try and make it happen.
Maybe we're buying the wrong brand razor.
I'm going to go for a six blade next, I think. I'm going to upgrade from a four blade.
How many blades are they going to add? They're going to just keep adding blades.
Just until the point where you can't actually physically hold it for all the weight anymore.
12
the
blades.
The one I've got, this four blader, has its own base.
Oh, no.
And you're supposed to put it back regularly on the base. It's like a garage.
There's one, isn't there, now?
Stick it in the tooth mug, be done with it.
You have to put batteries in, and you're like, isn't that an electric shave?
Oh, no, it's just bizarre.
Is it a vibrate thing?
It vibrates or something to send waves through your skin.
All I want is a clean shave. Don't vibrate me. We will do it before the end of the year. Right. One way or the other, we will go and have a delicious, close, cutthroat shave. That's been Bloke Talk. Thank you. I'm going to take your grumpy hat off now. You finished all your satsumas. And this has been Bloke Talk on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Listen, and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.